Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic. I'm your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, producer of the world's greatest Comic-Con that happens every August right here in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. I'm very calm right now because John on the other end of the phone is playing with Instagram, his new electronic social media toy, and he's trying to figure out what it is. How have you got there? Have you started a fire yet by banging the rocks together?
I don't know how to post, like a photo. And every time I try to post a photo, it goes to like to take a picture. But I got photos on my phone, Mickey.
I know how to do it on my phone. I have the app, and I just click on it, and it says, where do you want to get the picture from? And you hit library, and you chose a picture, and you
Yeah, that's what I want, Mitch.
Then just do that.
I don't know how.
All I know is I'm watching the Batman 66 movie right now and with no sound on, and it's actually not so bad that way. There's the Penguin submarine. And here, tell the people what you're doing while I go fix something in the microwave oven.
Well, this is what, first off, we're going to have to, like, make this a public announcement, because I know people have been seeing it around. People don't understand. I'm officially hired by Mitch Halleck, officially. Now, I've been helping Mitchie for the last few years with this. Hey, Mitch.
What?
Roy Thomas is calling me. I gotta go. I'll call you back.
Who's calling you?
Roy!
Goodbye.
All right, we're back on after being rudely interrupted by Roy Thomas. God, like that guy thinks we got nothing better to do. I'm sure he just filled you with some good Power Cosmic gossip, huh, Johnny?
Well, I think he's going to be he wants to be a guest. He wants to be on the Power Cosmic.
What, three? A three-timer? A three-time guest at the Terrific Con? That's a sacred title only held by very few people that have come back three times. I think it would be, let's see, who's come back more than one? Jerry Ordway's been there like every year. Paul Kupperberg's been there every year. Billy Tucci's been there every year. Roy would be an elite group if he comes back for a third time. And the reason why we're talking about this, folks might want to listen up, because John Cimino, a.k.a. Stretch Hulk, a.k.a. Elastic Hulk, is now part of the Terrific Con team. He has been brought on board by yours truly as a talent coordinator, and he will be handling many of your Golden Age, Bronze Age, and other ages of comic book creators. Is that not right, Johnny?
Listen, now that I'm part of the family officially, I always have been. I'm always there. Me and Mitch have been friends for a freaking too long. But now that I even said to Roy, I come with baggage, right, Mitch? I come with Roy Thomas. So we're going to have Roy Thomas. Probably he's going to be in every year there. He has so much fun with hanging out with me and Mitchie. And I said, now that I'm part of the family officially, it's time for Roy to come too, officially. He's part of Terrific. I even told him, you're part of Terrific Con.
Roy is like the permanent guest host, like on Johnny Carson's show. When Johnny wasn't on, they would have like a permanent guest host. It was Joan Rivers. She was always there. If it wasn't Johnny, Joan would be there. So if you go to Terrific Con, you could always bet your bottom dollar you're going to see rascally Roy Thomas as our permanent guest. How about that, Johnny?
Perfect. You know, like I said, and well, come on. Last year, there was one night you weren't with us because you did your own thing and you were pissed.
Please.
I know, but we were, me, Englehart, and I think Scott Martin, too. We had an unbelievable time. But Roy has such fun with us and with you. He loves you. He thinks me and you are two crazy guys, and he loves us. That I said to him, you got to come. You had, tell me another show you had more fun at. He goes, you guys had one of the best shows. Now, this is Roy Thomas saying that, and like I said to him, now that it's official, I'm part of the team, I said, you're a staple every year. And he goes, do you guys really want me every year? And what do we say?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love it that Roy Thomas, he's gonna turn into Captain Terrific. Why don't we?
He should. You know what? Forget your Spider-Man costume. We're going to build one for Roy. Terrific Thomas, we're going to call it.
Hey, that would be awesome. And but like that, I'm happy that, you know, Mitch, like, entrusted in me. You know, he needed me to come in, you know, to be friends and do this. And
there's very few people in this Comic-Con business that we're in, John, that understand comic books, that are true fans, not some of these fly-by-nighters that just jump on the bandwagon because they think it's hot, you know, and they want to be part of the team. We actually read this stuff. I'm buried alive here at the house with comics everywhere. My wife will tell you there's not one flat surface around this house that doesn't have some type of comic book connection to it, whether that's good or bad. And of course, you, every week at the random flea market, are out there selling and collecting on a constant basis. Plus, John has what I like to call moxie. He's full of piss and vinegar. He can get out there, roll up his sleeves. The man could put P.T. Barnum under the table. This guy knows how to sell, baby. Sell.
Well, let's see. Hey, Roy Thomas said, I asked him one time, who's better, me or Stan Lee? He goes, you're right up there, John. You're right up there with Stan. So, I mean, I know I got a little moxie. But the thing is, Mitch, the truth is about Terrific Con, I've had offers to do other places, you know, I had like some good contracts and all that stuff, but the reason why I turned it down is because the reason, not only are you my friend, Mitch, but we look upon the comic culture and the Comic Cons the same way. We have the same vision. We know what works. We know what has lasting. We're not trying to be the biggest show in the world. We're just trying to put on the best show.
That's right.
And then everything else will take care of itself. Because, let's be honest, despite how many shows have been coming on and all the shows we're fighting against, even on our weekend, we get bigger and bigger.
Absolutely.
Every year.
Yeah.
And all the guests always want to come back.
Well, I've got to tell you, yesterday was the 7th, and that's when the tables and the booths traditionally go on sale. And they went on sale. And I have not announced a guest yet. I have them. I have them sitting here in my folder. I know exactly who's coming to the show so far. I could put it all out there now. But even without any guests, I have people buying tickets. I have people buying tables. It's really something that goes to show that the power of the show and the fan base it's created over these many years. Because people know they're going to have a great time. They're going to meet great guests. They're going to have fun and not going to beat up their pocketbook. They're not going to pay a fortune for parking. They're not going to pay a fortune at the door for a ticket. They're not going to get crazy. We don't have a zillion celebrities. It's not going to, you know, break the piggy bank because they want to get a picture with the guy that played, you know, whoever 20 years ago or anything like that. There's a few select choice quality guests. And like you said, Roy Thomas, the man was at every... He was at the original Marvel conventions. He was at the Carnegie Hall with Stan Lee. He's been at every show around the world. He's even going to Barcelona pretty soon, you booked him for. And the man says, no, you know what? I like that Terrific Con. It's a terrific show. Am I not right, Johnny?
That's absolutely true. He had more fun. You got to understand, Roy was up. He had a few hours sleep.
I know. The man was wired. I mean,
and he was so tired, and he was so great, and he said he had so much fun. So he called me a few days later, and he told me he had more fun at that show than any other show. He goes, I had so much, and that's why I said to him, Roy, you're always coming back. You're part of it. I go, Terrific Con isn't just me. I mean, isn't just Mitch Halleck. It's actually Mitch Halleck, John Cimino, and Roy Thomas.
And it's actually all the fans too. It's one big family. It's
I'm talking about in the we're gonna throw in Jerry Woodway there.
Oh, and Scott Martin and Chris. There's a bunch of people. Stu Greenberg.
Yeah,
there's so many people. It's like a small family. It really is. I mean, I see them on Facebook constantly. I see some of them at shows and stuff. But it's almost like we're always together because we always talk to each other. And we you know, talk about comics, movies, TV, whatever. And it just never goes away.
And plus, when we all get together, it's like a hangout. It's not like... Yeah, sure, it's busybody. We put a lot of work into it, but it's like you're with. It's like almost like it's a reunion.
It's a family reunion. Yeah, yeah. with people you actually like in your family. Because trust me, I got family members I don't like, but I have to get together.
Oh, God, I could go.
We could have an old cosmic, power cosmic on that one. But no, the other thing is the other show that I would say is a second running to mine would be Mr. Keith Gleason's Plastic City Comic Con happening up in, is it Leominster? I never was getting it wrong.
Leominster on Fitchburg.
Fitchburg, April 21st?
Yes, April 21st. I call that the Terrific Con Lite. It's a small version of Terrific Con, but with the same energy, with the same gusto. Let's just, the second show, it's always building amongst all the shows failing. Yeah. How come that show works? Because it's all the right dealers, it's all the right attitude, and it's the right formula. We're not trying to make these huge, gigantic shows where it's tailor-made for people to spend $500 and then nothing for anybody else. Yeah. We want to keep it as a real Comic-Con. That is a tried and true tested, because I'll guarantee you this, eventually this market is going to go down because there's too many shows. And a lot of, sure, the big shows will always be there, but a lot of these shows, we're seeing that now, are bottoming out, but not Terrific-Con and not Plastic City.
That's right, Johnny. Anyway, well, let's get on to other topics here, patting ourselves on the back. As much as I would like to do that, and my ego would love it as well, it has been 10 minutes since we started the show. It is now a balmy 26 degrees outside. The cold wave has been broken, so there's no more negative numbers on the thermometer. I might be going out today, venturing out of the house like a hermit. My wife is in England for the next 10 days. My son is home from college for a couple more days, and I'm in charge of the house. Uh-oh. So, how much takeout food can we possibly eat?
Mitch, I see how much you're online, too. You can tell Mitchie is
bored. Oh, I'm bored. I actually, there's this new Star Trek show that's on the CBS service. You have to pay, like a Netflix, you know. And I wanted to watch it, but I'm not paying them $10 a month just to watch Star Trek. Forget about it. So, they had 11 episodes of the show on, and I had a free 3-day access to it, so I subscribed for 3 days for free and watched every single episode and then got rid of it. That's what I've been doing. I'm starting to get a little crazy at the house here, a little stir crazy. I organized my comic books this weekend. It's not all of them, just some of them over the last couple months, the ones I've haven't been reading, so I stacked them up, laid on the floor, and read whole books. And let me tell you, some of them I questioned my reading habits, because some of them were horrible. They were just nasty. I put like 6 of them together. You know how they do these 6-issue series? So I put them all together and I flew through them. Not good. You know, I did find a nice book I picked up. Do you remember a book called The World's Greatest Comics? It was a salute to Stan and Jack.
Was that that limited series?
It was a 12-issue limited series. Eric Larson. Eric Larson. It was all about the Fantastic Four. It basically took place in between issue 100 and 101 of the classic Lee Kirby run, and it was like a what-if story, kind of like what happened, and every single person you can imagine that was in the Fantastic Four at that time show up. The Inhumans, Galactus, Silver Surfer, Doctor Doom, the Frightful Four. Submariner. Yeah, what the basic of the story is, the premise is Dr. Doom goes out to steal the ultimate power cosmic, Galactus's power himself, and becomes basically the ruler of the entire universe. And he comes back to the Earth, and everybody has to team up. The X-Men. I mean, everybody's in that book. The Avengers are in there. Thor, Hulk, Spider-Man, Daredevil, X-Men. Everybody makes an appearance. It's really cute. I picked it up at a show in Jersey. It was a trade hardcover. I think I paid like $7 or $8 for it. It's not bad to get a book like that. But that was probably the best thing I read all weekend. Oh, no, I take that back. I also read a Star Wars collecting Darth Vader. You don't care about Star Wars, but I say this because some of the guests that I'm talking about in these stories I read will be at Terrific-Con. I'm giving subtle hints to who they are. So if you're very good with your comic book knowledge and just listen to who I mention as the writers and artists on some of these books. That's right. Stanley and Jack Kirby are coming to Terrific-Con. That's how good we are. Right, John?
Yeah, we're going to resurrect Jack Kirby.
Is that the Ouija board
still,
now?
I would still love. Who's the piano player? We almost got him last year.
Yeah. Maybe this year I'll bring him up. He's the guy that wrote all the theme songs to the Marvel superheroes TV shows in 1966.
Yeah, he's still alive.
He's got moxie.
Oh, my God. Maybe too much.
He should write a Terrificon song, like, march along to the Terrificon. Dun, 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 dun.
I would love for him, and plus you could have that piano, and you put it right there in the main
lobby. Oh, we have that piano there. He'll just go right to it. I bet that's the kind of guy that lives, eats, and breathes a piano. Every morning he gets up to go, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm stopping the plaque, I'm trying to get the fresh breath back. Da, 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 da. That's the type of guy that he's. He's a jingle writer. We'll call him like an old, you know.
Yeah, with Moxie. Like,
with Moxie. Yeah, not a lot of people have moxie. Some people fake moxie, and God, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Oh my God.
This weekend, too, when I was kept snowbound here, there were some videos from the 80s of some of the DC launch parties. And did you see that? Did I send you the link to that?
No, what was it?
Oh, it was like DC's 1984, 85. They were having a party at the headquarters of DC Comics. And they were launching some of their titles. And it's so funny to go back and look at the guests that we have at the show when they were in their prime, when they were in their 30s and 40s and younger. There was Paul Cooperberg, Bob Greenberger was in these things, Marv Wolfman was in them, and they all have dark hair, and they all have beards, which is amazing. Everybody grew beards for some reason back then. But they were all there talking about the latest books that were about to come out, something called The Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns. And, you know, this is obviously before they've hit the stand, so we didn't know what the world was going to be like in a couple months. But it's fun to watch, this, just to see the fashionable attire of the 80s, you know?
Wow.
Imagine if we all got together in our 30s, how the world would have never been the same.
Oh, Mitch, I think you should talk about what happened to your Tumblr.
Your Tumblr.
I had some information to tell Mitch one morning, and then he says, I'm mad.
Yeah.
And I try to deny it, and you're like, I'm pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So something else going on in Mitch's life that was more important than anything I had to say. And I don't even remember what I had to talk to you, because all I can remember this. So finally, Mitchie calls me early in the morning.
Oh, I was broken.
He had to get something off his chest. Yeah. Chest. Mitchie, the floor is yours.
All right. What had happened is my wife had just got this brand new exercise bike thing called the Peloton. I haven't even told the story yet. Will you stop laughing? So she got this big new exercise bike, you know. So downstairs in the quote-unquote converted basement family room where the kids play their video games. Will you stop laughing? All right. And I put all my toys and all the everything. It's a mess down there. It's like 40,000 comic books and video games, statues, action figures. It's amazing. So anyway, she managed to find space to put the bike and such. Okay. And I go downstairs, and, you know, I'm like, oh, this is nice. You know, it's clean and it's organized. I haven't straightened that place up in years. You know, I don't go down there a lot. So we had this tumbler that I bought the kids for their Christmas in 2005. It was a remote control tumbler based on the Batman Begins movie. I remember buying it at Costco for like $70. And the thing was 27 inches long. It was huge. And it was remote control, and it lit up, and it had sounds, and it would go back and forth. And the kids used to play with it in the backyard. We used to chase the dog Indy around with it. It was really something. And that was 2005, 2006. So over the years, it just comes part of the woodwork. It's downstairs, and you walk down there. You see the laptop. You see the comics. You see the Xbox and all that stuff. And you see the Tumblr gathering dust over the years, you know. So the kids don't play with it. Everyone's grown up. But it's just part of the house. So after my wife cleans up downstairs, I go downstairs and I'm walking around. The boys are home playing video games. And I go, something's missing. You know, you just know that there's just something not right, you know. And I'm walking around and I go over and I can tell there's just something not where it's supposed to be. And it's this tumbler.
So I go, maybe it's in the garage. So I go in the garage. Maybe she moved it there. I don't see the tumbler anywhere. And I go back and say, boys, where's the Batmobile thing? And they all stop to look, and they all go, yeah, where is it? Usually it's right over by the slider door. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. So my wife is upstairs reading her Kindle, and I go up to the bedroom, and I knock. I say, hey, you seen that big, giant Batmobile that used to be downstairs? She goes, what? I said, the Batmobile. It was, you know, like a tank. It looked like a big Humvee type of thing. And she stares at me. She goes, I threw that out. I go, what? And you could hear a pin drop all through New England. And I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean you threw it out? She goes, well, that was the kids. They haven't played with that thing in like 10 years. They didn't want it. They don't play with it anymore. I go, you don't understand. That was the Tumbler. That was the Batman. That was Batman's car. And Batman Begins in the Dark Knight trilogy. She goes, I didn't see anybody playing with it. What do you get mad about? I go, you don't understand. Just because I don't play with it doesn't mean I don't want it. There's lots of things down there. There's 40,000 comic books I haven't opened up in years. So anyway, I go to look. It's gone. It's not in the Goodwill. She threw it out in the dumpster. Somebody probably dove into the dumpster and got it. I'm sure the Batmobile has a new home somewhere around here. So I go to look on eBay just to see how much one costs, you know. A broken one I found sells for $200 plus $150 to ship. I started getting like hives. Then I found one in working condition, $400 plus $150 to ship, $550. And I go upstairs and I show my wife the prices, and she goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. She goes, how was I supposed to know? It was just sitting there. I go, yeah, but whatever. The thing of it is, and you know, John's like, did you buy one yet, Mitch? I'm like, no. I am not going to spend $500 for something that I had previously bought for $75. But right. And then you call the next morning talking about something about Roy or whatever, and I'm just like besides myself. I mean, it's been 2 weeks now, or a whole week. No, it's been a whole week. So I've come to grips with it, partially. And then you're sitting there and you're laughing and you couldn't stop laughing. You're like, oh my God, what happened? I go, I can't talk. And you go, did somebody die? I go, it's worse. And you're like, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? I go, the tumbler's gone. You're like, the what? I go, the bat tumbler, it's gone. My wife threw it away. She goes, so what? What's grow up? Will you? I'm like, oh. So
me and the kids used to play it. It's just like
me and the kids, we were in the backyard. We used to build ramps. We used to make a jump. The dog used to chase. It's all gone. You're like, so what? Move on.
That's so. What like, oh my God. This is because you know what it is? It's like, once again, it reminds me of you like laying on the floor on your belly, reading comic book. It's like this big baby. It's just like, all right, Mitch. It's just a piece of plastic. I get it. But you can't. It's like you're such a kid. Like, you're more of a kid than you even were a kid when you were younger.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're so attached to these things, and it's just so funny.
Well, no, because when we were younger, we threw out shit all the time. We didn't care. I told you before, I had every single Mego superhero. They're all gone. My dad threw them all out when I was like 12. We moved or something. We moved houses. And he said, you know, take what you can in a shoebox. The rest of it I'm throwing out. We can't bring all that stuff with us. So all my 12-inch G.I. Joes went. The helicopter, the whatever, the little yellow truck that went in the water, the amphibious vehicle, the Big Jim Corvette, and all the Big Jim figures. They all went in the trash, you know. It's just the way it is. And the only thing I kept was a shoebox of my Star Wars action figures. Everything else, gone. But you're right. It was easier to throw out stuff when you were growing up.
You know, sending me a text. Like, my parents always threw out my toys, and it would be like Star Wars figures, gone. Big Jim figures, gone. Everything, and nobody cared.
Yeah. I had nightmares. I was having flashbacks to the 70s again.
So you're an abused child, PTS, right?
Yeah, PTSD. It was happening all over again, man. I'm starting to twitch in the corner. I was like, oh my God, it's like my dad's coming. I thought any minute my comics were going to get hurled into a dumpster. You know, it's not fun. And you know what's the fun? If it shows up at the Rain and Flea Market for $500, I'm gonna kill you because that's where it is. You know, all that stuff that you sell, I want every bit that's in your booth. Every time I see it, I want the Wayne Foundation. I want the Hall of Justice. I want all that stuff. just to bring it to my house so it could sit there untouched. I'm not going to play with it. I'm 51 years old. I'm not going to get on the ground and play with my action figures. They'll put me in a freaking nut hospital.
And you just kept sending me, like, all this stuff. My Legos, gone. Like, everything, gone. Gone. Everything, gone. So, Mitch,
yes.
Black. It's just a piece of plastic. It's over. It's because, like I said, there's no bringing it back. It's over.
Well, you know, I talked to Mike Zapsik years ago, and he lost his latest comic collection in the Sandy Hook flood a couple years ago. And I was like, oh, my God, how devastating. And he says, no, that's probably like the third or fourth collection I've gotten rid of over my life. I go, what? He goes, yeah, you know, I've had collections, and then I got rid of them, and I sold them, and then I got more, and then I lost them, and this time we lost it in a flood. And it's so, I guess once you get rid of that stuff, like you with your 30,000 Hulk pieces, and you got rid of everything, and you know.
Yeah, you get another view on life. It's like, now I don't look at this stuff the same. Yeah, I still love it. I'd love to buy and sell it and get it to people, but I have a few of my things that I have, like when I was a kid, that I always all the stuff I always wanted as a kid, that kind of stuff. I have about 200 pieces, maybe a little less.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Not even really any comics, because, you know, the comics I like to buy and sell, but I don't look at it the same, so I'm not in your shoes anymore, Mitch. I've grown.
And you know what? I got to tell you, I never did drugs, so I don't know what it is, but I've read about how the hunt for a comic book or a toy, the sensation, the release of chemicals in your brain when you get it, like, you know, when they give a rat some the cancer-causing chemical in a lab test and it likes it because it's addicted, the chemical release, I read, is similar to a drug addict. Like, when I would go into a Toys R Us years ago and I was looking for a certain Star Wars action figure or something, and you ran down that aisle, literally grown men running down an aisle and hoping it would be there, and then you find it on the peg, and you got it, and you bought it for like $5 or $7. That rush that you had, you know, that you owned it, was like similar to a drug addiction. Do you believe this, or you think I'm making this up?
No. I get it, because, you know, one of the great things of my life, I remember with, like, you know, you're digging through the toys, and then you actually find it. That happened to me once. I can't remember the figures, but I'll tell you this. I was with my daughter, and it's when those, it was when the high school, what if those high school things are half Monster, half Barbie? Monster High. Those Monster High figures. She wanted this particular figure, and she was digging and digging and digging, and she found, it was like right, it was the last one in the shelf that she couldn't believe that she found it. And I remembered, like, that's a great feeling when you actually found it, because I always was missing. I always looked for the Snake Eyes on the G.I. Joe racks, always missing. Looked for Storm Shadow, always missing. The He-Man figure, you want He-Man? No, you got, it was always Spike War and all that other crap. You go for you're looking for Faker, missing. But when you do find that leads to the story of the Meagle Elastic Hulk. I never could ever find it in the store. So when I saw it at a friend's house, you know, it led me down that drug addiction of finding that stupid toy. But, yes, when you go down there and you're digging for that and you find it, it's like a drug. It's literally that hit of, like heroin.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes! Like, everything is right at that time.
Oh, yeah, and I tell you, I always go looking through long boxes at shows and if I go to a comic shop, because you never know. And I've heard this about, you know, people at my shows when they come to the Terrific Cons, they'll say, oh, I found Walking Dead issue 1 in a dollar box or something. And I'm like, what? You know, and you just like, it's literally like finding gold. It's a treasure hunt. You just like, you're like the guy out there with those metal detectors. And they're out there finding keys and bottle caps. But now and then they hit something. And I don't know what it is, but it's like a little treasure. So, yeah, I go to these comic shops and stores and cons looking for rarities. Like, maybe I'll find that Iron Man 55, the first appearance of Drax and Thanos.
You know what's funny, Mitch? It's funny how you were talking about that little treasure, because that is so rare nowadays because of the internet, social media.
Oh, yeah. Like, eBay ruined it.
So you never... It is cool. Sometimes you get those little, like needles in the haystack that, like, oh, my God, it's here, like, you know. But usually that doesn't happen much anymore.
No, because everybody knows something's worth something to somebody. I mean, That Batmobile, probably somebody would sold it for $5 at a tag sale years ago. Now they know, oh, go on eBay, it's $500, you know? And
yeah, that's a travesty. When you go to, like, somebody's garage sale and all their comics are, like, in, like, you know, it's, like, all backboarded and stuff. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah.
Well, what, I mean, you have people come to you at the flea markets. And I drive around here. I live in, like, suburbia. And I see people when the weather's nice, they do the flea markets and or not, tag sales, and they put them out on their front porch or their garage sales and such. Do you really find stuff there? I mean, is there ever a chance you just pull over and Grandma Moses is throwing out somebody's Action Comics number one?
It's one of those things, Mitch, you always hope. Yeah, you know, like, it is so far and few between that you actually can get to that where, but, you know, sometimes you can get lucky. I've been lucky in a sense that when I sometimes do my speakings at the, I did, like, at some of the museums and people bring in stuff, I'm sometimes very, I'm shocked at some of the things they bring. Like I have to admit, like when I first started doing this regularly as a full-time job, one of my first speakings, a lady brought me in 2 bags worth of Golden Age comics. I mean, I got a Superman 14, and she was just going to throw them away because she found them in her attic and she saw it in the paper and she said, "Oh, you know what? It's on a Sunday. I'll do it. If not, I'll just throw them away on Monday." She literally was going to throw them away. That collection was stuck in her attic for like 40, 50, 60 years, however it was. And I was like, I couldn't believe there were still those collections out there. Now, regardless, that was far and few between. But sometimes you get lucky.
Well, that's the thing, too. I see you would find it and quickly sell it again. I would grab it and just add it to my pile and go, I'm not going to let go of it.
No, right. It wasn't...
No,
I sold it again. Yeah, because I don't look at it like that anymore. Because if I'm going to find something, I see the number signs and I say, okay, the dollar mark's in my head. And I'm like, I'm going to sell. I never look at anything that I'm just going to pocket. But I will tell you this:
what?
I did out of a collection that I still have and I keep to this day was a guy in his collection had. I don't know if you remember back in 1975. The Hulk wasn't that popular.
No,
do you remember the honeycomb commercial? Do you remember that honeycomb commercial? The Hulk honeycomb commercial?
Was the guy turning the Hulk correct the clubhouse?
Go on YouTube and look it up. Herb Trippy does the animation. Like, he does the drawings of the Hulk. Check it out. It's before the Hulk was even popular. So it wasn't that shown, but it was a honeycomb commercial, and the Hulk jumps in, and he goes, "Hulk, like, big appetite, whatever." And the kids are in their like hideout. And
yeah, the honeycomb Hulk hideout.
Yeah. Okay. But look it up on YouTube. 1975 Hulk honeycomb commercial. In his collection, he had all the friggin' the cells of that and the drawings, and they were all signed by Herb Trimp.
No way.
Yes, I have them, and I was like, this is cool. And he just threw it in there with all the rest of the collection and stuff, and it was like, nope. And in my head, I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
Well,
so I actually kept that. I have all the cells, and they're all autographed by Herb Trimpy. I think when I bought this, Herb Trimpy wasn't dead yet, so I think he actually died later that year. But that was one of the best things I got out of the collection because I actually kept it, and I still have them to this day. The cells for that, look it up. The honeycomb.
I believe you. But like, as I sit here, I know when you just said there's artwork, I have original art in the next room that's in a folder that I get from all the guests that we have at each Terrificon. They'll draw me a character, and there's beautiful artwork in there. You know, I got Captain America sketches, Spider-Man drawings, and such like that, and when I go, and depending on my diet, it could be any second here, my wife's not going to know who the hell these people are. You know, what's a Neil Adams? What's a John Byrne? No one's going to know. It's going to be scribbles on a piece of paper. So you never know what's going to be worth to somebody. But you held on to those cells. That's one of the few things you kept?
Yeah, because I never saw it. And you never see
it. Yeah, that's a one-of-a-kind thing. You know?
Yeah, but they were. I loved how they were all autographed. They were all autographed by Herb, and I was like, "Wow!" And that was just like a weird, random find. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Are those the cells for that commercial?" And he's like, "Yeah."
There's stuff out there that's one of a kind. I remember when they filmed the Indiana Jones movie in New Haven. We went down there, and after they were done filming, they left stuff everywhere. They left parts of the props, they left sets pieces, and all this. So I picked up as much as I could. And I have that because that's, you know, that one of a kind thing. They made a movie out of it. It's on the screen. No one saved it. And me and my kids were there. There's videos somewhere on MySpace. Actually, I have a MySpace video. Probably I haven't visited in 10 years, but there's like footage of me and my kids walking around New Haven after they just filmed Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And we're picking up all the props from the movie. So, and I do have some of those there. Lucasfilm doesn't care. When I went to Lucasfilm, I told them I had some of it. They were like, good. I'm like, what do you mean? They go, we don't want that stuff. What do you think? We're going to store it all? But again, like we said, one man's trash is another man's treasure or tumbler. So you just don't know. It's been a very sedate Power Cosmic. We didn't, I mean, like I said, we're coming off of New Year's Eve, snowbound. It's been negative 20 the last couple of days. We're sitting here, not leaving the house.
In an ending, Mitch, let's tell them about the I know they hear you online stuff, but let's throw it out there, the venue. Tell them what's going on with the venue.
Oh, the new Terrificon? Yeah. So the new Terrificon, not new, it's at the Mohegan Sun, where it's been for 4 years now. But the thing of it is, it's at the Exposition Center, which is a brand new facility that they're building there that is four times larger than the previous convention center. So when Terrificon 2018 happens on August 17th to the 19th, we are going to have so much more than we ever could before because we just didn't have the room for it. There's going to be more artists, more dealers, more cars, more actors, more things to do, more cosplayers, more events because we could stay there all night long now in that big room. So it is one of the biggest shows I'll ever do. And it's amazing, like you said, it gets bigger and bigger every year, but it gets better and better every year as well. And
And tell people about the prices, though.
Like, oh, the prices stay the same. Actually, that's the thing. People said, did you raise your prices? I go, no. Actually, the ticket price is $29.75 for Saturday, and Friday's $26.75. I think it was the same price last year. Maybe it was $27 last year, $25. And even the booth prices. I kept the Artist Alley prices the same. I lowered the prices on the exhibitor tables. I did increase the booth by like $20 because it's just more space and I have to get more things. But that's it. I mean, that's not a big jump and increase in for all that value. You get the same excitement, the same terrific con fun at a value price. You know,
name a con that does that.
Like, nobody does. Everybody's going up. I'm the only one that's staying level or going down. I'm like that button you used to see on the comics, like still only 35 cents, still only 60 cents.
Like the explosion, but still only 35
cents. Yeah. You know, there's no need to go crazy on this stuff. I mean, as much as people would want me to retire and become a billionaire, I honestly, if my epitaph... look at it, but I'm so morbid. If I could put it down and they say, what's he known for? I just like people to say, oh, that guy put on some great shows. You know, when I finally stopped doing this. So that guy, Mitch, yeah, he did some terrific Comic Cons. They were amazing. They had the greatest guests. They had the best time. So that's it. That's really it. Not that I'm in it for my ego. What the hell? I'm in it to get...
But that just shows you, like, and this is why I'm happy to be part of the team, because I look at it like you do, and it's like, you're not trying to, you want those people to come in there and spend money on vendors and have a good time, not to be crunched.
That's why I'm walking around on that. You see me every year on that thing. I never leave. I walk around from the second that door opens to the closes, and then I go get my Sunday. But, yeah, I make sure everyone's having a good time. I'm like the host of a party. I walk around. Everybody good? You want some more food? You want some more drinks? Everybody good? You know? Literally, I will. You ask any vendor. They say, oh, yeah, I see Mitch all the weekend. He comes up by the table every morning. How you doing? Everything good? Anything wrong? Can we fix something for you? Is it too cold in here? Is the music too loud? I mean, that's what you got to do if you want to be a good host. Unless you want to be a jackass and sit in a room and count your money like a jerk. That's a spacon. That's a cavone. That's what we call those people.
Giga Cavone, isn't it?
Yeah. My Italian's coming out. So there, the real Mitch is a three-quarters Italian, so he could tell you how it is. A Spacone or a Cavone, those are the people that have money and they flaunt it. They walk around with the gold chains and, you know, they try to impress you with all they have. And you just look at it and you shake your head. You go, whatever. Nobody cares.
So people come down to Terrificon because it's going to be bigger and better. 17th through the 19th, August.
Yeah, that's and you know the guest list I have. I have a guest list. If you ever read back issue or Alter Ego magazine, that's like everybody in those magazines that have articles written about them are the people I want. And I send those to John over here, and he's working on them. I'll say, John, I want Doug Munch. I want Bill Sienkiewicz. I want Jerry Conway. I want Sal Buscema. I want anybody that's still got a pulse that used to work in comics. I want those people at my show. Why? Just to tell them thank you, just to shake their hand, and just to have other fans like myself who enjoyed their work, just to get that moment to come up to them and say what they meant to them growing up and how excited they were every month to read their adventures and those comics. That's all it is. That's all it's about. Just a handshake, you know, and a thank you. See?
Okay, and on that, Mitch, how do we end this?
We could say that's that, John. We could.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.